No.
What could happen is, if this is recorded, it says someone could write for minutes.
Sure. A bit
facetious.
So the new innovation is that we are recording this meeting to the extent that Gary's computer has disk space for a WAV file.
Oh, no.
Maybe you wanted me to, but I'm fine.
No. Travis ran away. I think we can probably start. So I guess I tried to embody all the correspondence I've been having with Chris in one statement, and then straight under that I wrote what is an ensemble, and Chris asked for a definition of what actually one was.
Connection development?
Yeah. I wasn't going to answer it for him. I was just pointing out that he asked. So.
Time to read Paul's thesis.
I've sent the stuff over.
And then on the general correspondence between me and Chris, as well as the ongoing discussion about how well we're communicating, which I keep summarising as the fact that is not that much different than the amount of communication we have here. You know, I think Chris feels like he's the one out of the loop, but I think there's also lots of things that lots of us don't understand or don't agree on or whatever. But also, yeah, the minutes, he keeps asking for better minutes, and you know, Kerry is happy to resign. If anyone else will do it. And finally, just that, I think we kind of are converging, I think, I'm not sure, but it's with me and Chris in my discussion, you know, just in the, so my latest strategy was, he points out that there's lots of difficult stuff in terms of if we make this kind of configurable library, in terms of defining a nice API that allows problem types to say, this is how I'd like you to store my data or whatever. So I asked him to write an API for it, because he obviously seems to know the most about the problems. You read what he wrote, Carl?
For what exactly, Shane? Can you describe
for it? It's just essentially, the two APIs that I've been thinking about up till now is one for defining creating elements. The second one is essentially evaluating elements, or evaluating fields. And then the third one that Chris is quite is saying is important is about saying that, you know, I'd like all this data distributed in a certain way or stored in a certain way or so on within that library. And so,
just on particular nodes, I think.
Well, yeah.
The distribution of your data API.
So it's different ways to distribute the data, right, based on the problem, kind of.
It's so that the problem can give some guidance or, you know, control to how it's stored. Anyway, Chris is going to write a proposal for what's required.
For one pass of that, for one of those three API proposals.
The third thing.
Yeah.
Which is comes to the heart of all of what he's been talking about, I think. As far as I can tell. So, no. I suspect that in a given problem, for the first instance, we won't need that API, and hopefully some default implementation will be suitable. But his concern is just the overall efficiency of the whole process, that at some point you need to be as optimal as possible, so you need a better control of what's going on behind this API. And so you need some ways of being able to tell it. So that's good.
You mentioned something about the database being able to talk with the computational engine. Do you
I think what he's saying is that the database needs to be able to say, how many nodes have I got? So he started using the word computational environment, or the phrase computational environment in the last one, and I guess he sees that database is asking, you know, am I running an API? You know, I mean, how many nodes have I got? You know, and stuff like that, I presume that doesn't seem that separate to me. That's another module. That in fact is a lower down module that all these things might use, as far as I can see. But I think what I'm asking for here is that we define those APIs and do it properly. And so I've asked Chris to. That makes sense. Yeah, well, I think he kept saying about kernel before, but I think the problem is I see all those things broken up into different bits as well. And the computational kernel, to me, is just the bit that does the physics, and it hopefully made use of a bunch of different libraries, which some of them are about the environment. Yeah.
It was probably the same from the computational side. I would need the library linked in.
Yeah, fair enough.
But the database library needs to be able to use other code in the computational kernel. That was probably what I didn't understand. Perhaps Chris can provide.
Well, he has the computational environment. So the thing that he needs to know from the kernel is how many CPUs there are how much memory is there.
Whereas we'd probably imagined that the database knew the computational
environment
rather than asking the kernel for it.
Yeah. But even in any circumstance, you know, even if the field ML, the data storage library and the the problem type code want to interrogate their computational environment, I think you'd put a common, you'd put a library underneath it that told you about stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
But when you talk about a database library, are you thinking of the data structures having some in-memory representation that's part of a this is not the external representation of those data structures.
But it's no different, though. I mean, if you define an API, and say, okay, here's my API, sometimes that may be an in-memory representation which you're accessing, or sometimes that may be a collection of distributed values across a whole lot of CPUs which you collect, cache and store, and then provide through the API. And that's why it's powerful, because it could be implemented as a remote storage. It could even be on a remote, coming from your repository.
Okay, I understand that, but I'm just thinking about this issue of syncing. If you have your data structures, even if they're replicated on each node, the process of syncing them
is a complicated one.
To what extent is that handled by a database type syncing process, and what extent is it handled by some other MPI-related?
I think that's something that we really want to be shared by the sort of library. So there is some way it has to handle that process, decide how that syncing is done, and implement it. And maybe, again, that's a place where you provide the sort of hint API and it says, I'd like you to sync really often, or I'd like you to, I don't care if you only sync every minute, And so the library handles all the processing, but it's guided by something external to say what.
The visualization end, as it's sort of running a visualization parallel to computation, may well say, well, I'm just happy with the latest piece of information I've got. But it's only really when you're writing back that you're going to need to be really up to date.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, if you're a single MPI process and you depend on the solution of the adjacent nodes, then you're going to have to require, you're going to say, I need the updates of these values or I can't continue. The thing's going to try and fetch them as aggressively as it can. Those sort of things are the sort of stuff that you need to say.
So what defines the, at what part of this process is that definition of the hierarchy of data storage in relation to how frequently you need to sync bits? In other words, imagine you've got a problem involves a heart and a lung, and they only need to sync occasionally, versus within this particular organ system, you've got a mesh that requires pretty frequent updating between those. What's handling the definition of that hierarchy?
Nothing at the moment. I mean, I guess that's part of what we're asking for in terms of this third API. I think there's lots of ways this API works, and I think it will depend on, I mean, there'll be different implementations, will have different functions available to it. You probably have to create a thing which first allows you to say, what are your capabilities as a library? You know, are you distributed, or are you all in memory? You know, are you delayed, and do I need to provide you clues about syncing? You know, I don't know. But we haven't done that, and I guess that forms part of what I've asked Chris to look at this one. But if we make the assumption that we're going to figure that out and that it's possible, which is, I guess, part of what Chris and I have been arguing about, he kind of maintains that maybe it's not. If we assume that it's possible and that we want to have such an API, then we don't actually have to figure it out now, because we can go ahead with implementing a shared memory single node version that has none of that stuff that satisfies our API, so long as we're careful about writing an API that can continue to work in such a fashion.
Yeah. Okay.
And we have to break this problem up. If we start asking those questions, we can't go forward at this point.
I mean, the mere fact that you're starting by creating these well-defined layers is going to facilitate that process.
Yeah, that we have a clear API.
Yeah, I see. So you just again, just from my understanding, if you've got some structure like that where this might correspond to regions or whatever you call them,
yeah.
which gets synced on an occasional basis, and then there's a hierarchy where here are your CPU, individual CPUs, and these are accessing a common...
Well, they'll be probably accessing a local version of the library. Each one of them will have their own copy, probably, and then something under that will have to handle the syncing of those together. Even.
Right, but so that what you're saying is that between all this definition of that hierarchy and the actual data structures is an API, and that the data structures that are defined here are independent of how you happen to choose to produce that hierarchy of the syncing process.
Yeah, I guess so, although... Not quite sure. I mean, I figure, you know, like, if this CPU is trying to do some work, it's talking through this API to get to this value.
I'm just trying to figure out what this API number 3 is actually doing.
Oh, it's setting this, it's saying, this is how I want you to lay things out.
Yeah.
It's saying, you know, I need to know this, and it needs to be updated really quickly, and then this doesn't.
So it's saying that here's the data structures, but the data structures themselves say nothing about the layout of the hierarchy for syncing.
Exactly, for syncing or all sorts of other things, all the things that Chris has been talking about. Yeah, I mean, just even the layout of memory is very important. You know, do I need this field? I need to be able to make these things work efficiently. You want to be working through memory efficiently. You don't want to be picking out pieces distributed all through your memory. So if you've got a lot of the data, so you want to be able to tell the computational kernel, I'm going to use all the values from this together and all the values from this together. Please lay them out in memory together.
And it knows about the machine architecture that you're running on, whereas this doesn't.
The data storage does. That's it. Yeah, sure. This is another API to the same library. It's not a different library.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
these three APIs are going into the same library. Like an auxiliary thing that's just saying this is the control of that.
Yeah.
It's just tidy to separate different APIs for different functionality even into the same library and say, okay, this is a different kind of operation.
And that sort of thing is likely to be very problem dependent as well.
Which is Chris's point. But even he keeps saying, oh, this will be different for every problem. I suspect that actually a lot of it, if someone implements and carefully optimizes and tweaks such a storage solution for their particular problem, there will be other problems that would like to try that storage type or whatever, and so we need to put it in a library still. Rather than have all that code exist outside of that library. It'll be extremely architecture specific, I think, as well. Like, especially, you know, like you go and target something like BlueJean, and it's very, you know, the requirements of the way you store and distribute things is going to be very crucial.
But aren't there efforts to do, you know, create such libraries anyway?
That's what we're writing though, isn't it?
No, I mean as far as distribution of the data and, you know, for...
You mean like PETSCI and MPI?
Yeah.
But I presume we'll be using those. Isn't it? This doesn't say we're going to implement our own MPI. It says that an implementation we'll use MPI.
Or even higher level ones.
Like Oracle. Like how Oracle might choose to distribute.
Well, as far as the data goes, you know, for the longer term storage of the data, but I'm thinking more in terms of the sort of distributed computing of computations of, you know, and heterogeneous sort of computational.
Well, there's lots of grid stuff which allows you to tell. But can't these libraries make use of that stuff? Isn't that exactly what we're talking about?
Does Pepsi deal with a hierarchy of memory architecture? I thought Pepsi was only implementing PPI
But that's I mean, the first level is I've got shared memory. The next level is we've got a bunch of CPUs. You know, I think we can't do all those things at once. We're going to be implementing those layers.
I'm just wondering whether, when you said Pepsi could be an example of
It's an example of distributing.
Intended for scaling.
Intended for.
I think designed mainly for fairly homogeneous.
Which is the one that we'll implement before we try implementing a non-heterogeneous one, surely.
And I think there are actually a limited number of these sort of high-level communication APIs, like we sort of throw a library on top of MPI that does a data distribution for us. We should look into them.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting at, though, because I spoke to Chris yesterday about the issue, and he suggested three separate sort of frameworks that are that he is aware of. There's one that has been put together by Jack Dungara's group, another one from...
So these need to be written into our wiki under resources.
Yeah, sorry, it's up on the blackboard downstairs.
Sure. We did have a place. Carl has listed some already.
Oh, okay.
But it'll be good to fetch that and
check that Carl got them all.
So I do have information to provide the links to get some more detail.
I have no doubt that we want to make use of such resources.
Yeah, okay.
I'm hoping that we can define an API that doesn't make that impossible. It's basically what we're trying to do at this point. And if it does and we have to adjust our API later on, that's okay.
Surely Globus addresses some of these issues too.
Yes.
Globus is an international standard grid.
Grid.
Okay.
And where it gets turned.
Well, some of these are in fact built upon Globus. And there were two groups actually in Melbourne who maybe of interest to us.
I mean, Carl also was talking. You were talking about that mesh library thing that can kind of adjust stuff as well.
Yeah, there's a flexible distributed mesh database. From the specifications for it, there are specifications listed for joining elements together and saying how they're connected and what are adjacent to elements, but the specification hasn't been written for how fields are represented on those elements, but whether the library has gone and measured it, so
something
anyway, I don't know. But the lower level ones like global rate, on top of the MPI and distribute arrays around, but would need to have a fairly array-based data storage to take advantage of those things. Would be my guess.
Sure, but I mean, even certainly, with field parameters, if they're put in a pool of field parameters, that could be our array internally. That's not what we're publishing through our API, but internally there could be a big array for a field, which is a big one.
And that's
looking to be
API.
Yeah. Okay, I think we'll move on. We kind of have a hard deadline because at 12 o'clock there's a Solomel meeting. The next thing I put on my thing was a discussion about the things that I'd written on my kind of notes about FieldML page. The first one, again, is the question that I was just kind of, in the FieldML description we have at the moment, we explicitly have region points and we explicitly have region points and element points and then try and put links between them. And they explicitly have ensembles and group elements into ensembles and stuff like that. And I guess, you know, when I go to serialize it or write these sort of things, then I have a region, and within that region I define a bunch of elements. To me, that implicitly says that those elements are in that region and therefore are in that ensemble, and so I don't need all those kind of objects.
Can I just check, Shane, by region point you mean the 3D
coordinates? No, there's no 3D coordinates.
What do you mean by region?
A region point is a place in a region.
Defined by
nothing.
It's nothing. It's just a.
It's just
label,
a place in
a
region.
Label.
You say you. Well, it does. Yeah. It's in here. It doesn't even say.
So the idea of the region concept is simply to enable us to make associations between, you know, objects of a particular dimension that may be shared. So, you know, it's sort of a generalization of for instance, global node.
As a
just a node without any information.
So that's what I've put on my little list here on the agenda. We've got element points and region points, and it seems that as soon as you define an element point,
an element point link. Because an element point's only a reference within an element.
Yeah,
but then a generic element.
But if it gave it a name. If you had a name,
the link goes to it, something that could have a name.
But, or the element point could have a name as well.
But can I check, by element point, do you mean
an XI location?
Yeah, but in a generic element. So if you had two identical bilinear elements,
good question.
One, both of them using the same definition of an element point.
You have to make templates.
I think it is
there.
A generic.
Because this element point can only lead to one region point. It is that explicit link.
You know, there's a difference between having a sort of...
you have to do this for every element. This is the thing I want to see as serialization.
You may wish to define element points in, you know, for instance, quadrature points or nodes, etc.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And having a specific element, which may be a replication of that template, in which case those element points are specific to that element. They may not have to exist with any more information than is in the template, but they are able to be referenced independently.
I'm just concerned about the intermediate. You're saying the generic.
Check for a permanent marker too, because you clearly went around somehow.
Oh, I think it's just sending them on the table.
Oh, okay.
Is if you have a generic element, and over here we have a particular element that's within our 3D environment, so this is now a real region of space, but there's an intermediate thing, which is this idea of a template where you're somehow dividing up. So here you've got your north, one, here. There's real coordinates.
No, we don't have any real coordinates.
Oh, but eventually this gets mapped onto that.
That's all the element points and region points still don't define any field values.
No, I know that. All I'm saying is just thinking through the process of going from here to here. Here's an element point. Now, let's say there's another thing here, which is a region. Here's a region. And you put a label.
Yeah,
it's not a spatial location, it's a label
that
might get associated with it.
That's right.
That's a region. How do you deal with this? You can't define this topology, which again has no real geometry, it's just a topology, but you can't do it in terms of just those guys, because now you've got to be operating in a coordinate system that's outside of one element.
No, you say that
you
a point
you
in
say
the
they share the same region.
Yeah.
So you say the element point on that corner it exists to that region point, and the element point on the other corner goes to that same region point.
So that's what I was getting at before.
That's what it's
that,
for.
That is why you have individual elements, and the points within those sort of separate elements are different points. So they are
able to be addressed separately.
Which is why I kind of ask and think examples of the things we need at this point, because, you know, I accept that conceptually that's nice, but I think practically we just can't do it, because we can't afford to write. I don't think we're going to write. If I'm going to create a field to require someone to make region points, element points, and then define values as separate different things, it's just not practical. No one's going to.
You do that at the moment.
No, I don't. Those things are implicitly tied together when I create.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop them. You could be doing that implicitly when you do that. I mean, if you just go in straight here and define a mesh in 3D space, create this guy, you could essentially be creating that information anyway.
True. So I want to see an API that allows me to do that.
That's what
I'm asking for. Is an API that allows me to create a region point, an element point, and preferably establish, put some values with that all in one go. And I haven't even done that in the documents I've done, but I'd like.
I mean, the other way to do that is to make use of library.
At the first instance, I don't have a library. I want to make a mesh. And
yeah,
I need
sure,
to be
yeah.
able
I mean,
to.
You've got to start somewhere. That's right.
I need to be able to define those things simply, without having to make three objects and try and link them together.
But as Paul says, you must be doing. We are doing that right at the moment. If you go straight to the right hand.
It's only that there. Implicitly, a node defines essentially an element point, defines a region point essentially.
Yeah.
But
we have something called MP, which is basically gives you the field point label associated with the element point.
Sure, and we could continue to do the same thing. So I guess I look at this document, and this implies to me that I have to create region points, and then I have to create element points, and I have to make a mapping between each
that
element.
That document
point.
Doesn't imply any ordering. It doesn't imply that
okay.
you have to do manually.
Manually or through code. I mean, I just don't even. I can't have to do that in code. I can't have to go create region, create element point to region point link, and link all those things up.
That's how you construct things at the moment with almost any finite element.
And we have an array MPE, which is defining that linkage. You never explicitly define MPE. You just say this element has these global nodes.
It's associating element points with region points or global nodes.
Again, can I see? This is what I mean. I've circumvented this in here because it's not necessary to describe a field, and particularly not necessary to describe this element. So this is an example of a linear
there's
element.
There's only one element.
All right.
Yeah.
Between the other.
So exactly. So we need to show what two elements do and how they connect. And preferably be able to connect those nodes. So I need to see those examples because I want to know how that's done. If you can describe that succinctly to me without having to create zillions of objects, then there's no issue here. I want to be able to do it succinctly without creating lots of objects.
I don't think I've understood. Sort of resolution on what an element point is. I assumed for an element you could have a template that says this is a list of element points, and then you would have the linkages that would be unique to that element.
I think that's true. That's why the element points are outside of the element point to region point links are outside of the element point.
Yeah.
So I think you're right.
So we only have to for an element essentially say we're going to have this type of set of element points. We're not going to have to say for every element where all the.
No, but on the left hand side of that diagram, your generic element has the element point.
Yeah.
The one to the next right of that is done by the linkage.
True. And that, I guess that's what this implies. I'd like to see it written out to see what that entails. And you know, it comes to the same thing here. You know, if I define in a file where I'm within a region an element, that implies to me that it belongs in that ensemble. Do I create a, do I separately have to create an object that says these elements are in this region and ensemble?
Let me do that at the moment and back in sim, as you say, here's region one, this element belongs, these are the elements in region one.
Yeah, but you have global elements.
Is the intention that elements belong to regions?
Yeah, explicitly, so I asked that, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
So you're saying that there's no longer a unique global element number, it's unique within a region.
Well,
we haven't actually said something about that. Which describes a field, or multiple fields, on a region, but
that's the way it should be, and we do that in back-end CMS, but it's a two-step process, so we have both a unique, any unique element identifier, and we have a region number, which is unique to a region, but not unique globally. And we've always thought we should drop the unique, the idea of an element number that's unique over the whole mesh. Because
to have this sort of region namespace,
this is my fourth question on the agenda, is what is the ensemble scope? You know, is that equal to a region? Does, if you're trying to, and then I'm trying to understand, if I have an existing region and an existing ensemble, okay, that, say my coordinate field, and then I'm solving on that and calculating values as I solve, is it required to maintain that new solution field to have be valid over that entire ensemble and region all the time?
Yeah, so
and how does that work?
That was my intention. The ensemble is a covering of a region. That is, it provides a way of assigning points within any point within that region to an element and the element coordinate.
So if I'm progressively defining a field, do I have to go and create a new region and slowly put my elements or my elements in as I've defined a field on?
If you're extending a region,
I've got a region already there. It's already defined, and now I'm defining a new field on those same elements.
The same region.
No, well it can't be because I've only got the solution for one element so far, so I can't define it on all those elements because I don't know what the values are. See what I mean? There's a point. I've calculated the solution for this one element, and I'd like to store it somewhere. I need to store it in and out in my field values. So
why can't you have multiple field values associated with an element in a region?
I can, so long as but the rule said that it has to be defined over the entire region, over all the elements in the ensemble. But I don't know the solution for some of those elements yet. So if we make the rule that you have to define it over all the elements, then I can't. See, that's what I'm asking.
I see, so we're saying that. We're saying that, that if you have a region that's a container for an ensemble of elements, and now you've got multiple fields defined on those elements, and
then I define a new
saying
field.
That every field has to be defined at all the points over that particular region.
That's what I gather we're saying.
Yeah. That's right. The idea of a region is to have a container that says we have these fields associated with it, right? And because they are in the same region, the fields, all of those fields are cover that entire region. If you want to break up a region that has field defined only part of it, then that's when you start to use the embedding. So you can have a smaller region embedded within a larger region, and now, of course, you can be ensured that the interaction of the fields in the smaller region, have a corresponding point in the larger region because it's embedded in there.
Yeah.
So you know that they can always operate together, but not vice versa. So the idea of the regions here was to sort of have a way of explicitly saying.
I guess it's just a temporary situation.
You would have to be with it. Okay, yeah. So you can't have this region being partly within this one.
Yeah, I guess it's just as I'm progressively defining this thing. It's just that I haven't. I, I, you know, I can't set all the values in one go. I need to set them at gradually.
I don't know what you mean by setting the values. Okay, we're not talking about values here.
Yeah, I am.
We're talking about the covering with a set of elements.
I've calculated myself a potential field, right, from my solution, but I need to now define that on this thing programmatically somehow.
Yeah, but haven't you already predefined those fields via labels on that region before you get anywhere near computing value?
Yeah, independent of those.
I can define a field without it being computable?
The ensemble.
I say I have a potential field and yet I can't evaluate it?
No, it's computable, but you haven't computed it.
No, you're right. I don't know any values.
You can define a field that doesn't have the parameters assigned to it. Yeah, sure. That's incomplete. You know, it's the everything else.
Oh, I'm stuck.
Everything else is there. You've got the elements over which they are defined. Yeah. You've got the basis functions, etc.
Yeah.
You just haven't set the parameters.
What does it do when someone asks of it?
Then it tells you, you haven't set the parameters.
Okay, that's fine. Then it's not defined on those things, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, okay.
Ah, I see. That's
see, it's not defined on those elements.
Not yet.
Yeah, well, that's totally fine.
But the values are not defined, but the fields is still, as an abstract thing, is...
Yeah, but I'm talking about a concrete
one. Okay, so hang on. Don't we need to differentiate then in terms between a field that
far
is,
out.
Got a value, such as
not defined
topology of the mesh that's used for that field description.
Sure, so that's the difference between an ensemble and a field.
Okay, that's worth knowing. That's what you mean. All right.
So an ensemble is essentially...
You already told me I can define the field as well without the field values. You just told me I have to be able to know that potential exists.
In that case, I think there would be, from a personal point of view, I don't think there would be any problem. You know.
Okay, that's...
But does mean whenever...
Just as you might set up regions without, defining ensembles on them. They're sort of an abstract thing. You can't actually do anything with it until you provide a mechanism for you to actually calculate values.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, that's exactly what we do at the moment. That's why I was prodding at this thing about how we've always thought that it'd be nice to know that a field is fully defined whenever it exists on a region. However, in practicality, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just doesn't get calculated, and yet you want to be able to see the other values.
Right.
But we should reserve the use of the word field for the case where there are values associated with that ensemble.
No, I think...
Because otherwise, why differentiate between the field and... The ensemble is the term that then is...
But I've specified a field, I just haven't fully defined it.
You know, it's like having not a numbers as the parameter.
Yeah, exactly. Zero.
Or a flag that says the parameters defined. Haven't got values.
Okay, so the field says it's the ensemble together with a collection of variables as yet undefined.
Okay. See, because up till now we'd said that
can you say that one again? It sounds like we're writing that one down. Field equals ensemble together with variables possibly as yet undefined.
I didn't think we were allowed to have... I thought your definition of what you said before meant that couldn't happen.
Don't we have the same issue with everything unless they're all atomically...
Yes. Totally, yes. Yeah, I think so.
Say that again, Cal.
Well, we have the same issue with everything.
Anything that you want to be able to do, yeah.
Probably not all creation atomically, but maybe it is.
I think probably can make an element.
In any case where you're having a sort of a top-down sort of creation process, there are going to be things that are not yet defined.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you can... The one way of dealing that is to say... is to have functions that say I'm within, a boundary where I'm still creating. But the problem with fields and solution fields is those things can be times apart, and you shouldn't essentially lock atomically like that for very long, I would think.
What do you mean by atomically?
Well, Carl's point is that any of these things may be incomplete at certain points in time. Yeah. And so what you want to do is, if you have rules about saying that an ensemble belongs over all the elements or whatever, then if you add an element, you have to define all the extra fields on it or something like that, you know.